Good morning, my dear friends, and happy St. Patrick's Day. I see many of you are wearing green today, and that is wonderful. We want to thank Linda Hartsfeld for being a wonderful worship leader today, and our praise band as well. And Pastor Mike is traveling today, and he asked me to continue the sermon series for Lent on cultivating a spirit of contentment. And it was so beautiful that we began this morning singing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." When we come to the season of Lent, it is a time of cleansing. It is a time of purification of the soul and a time of renewal for our souls and for our hearts as we come to Holy Week and to the cross and to the resurrection. I'd like for us to read several scriptures together this morning, and let us pray together as we come to the hearing and the reading of the word today. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we give you thanks for your word. Open our hearts. Inspire us to hear and receive your word anew today, afresh, so that it may blossom and take root in us and build and cultivate your spirit within us, so that we may grow through this season of Lent to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to begin reading Psalm 51 that we just sang a little bit from. It is the famous song of David when the prophet Nathan had come to him after his sin with Bathsheba and ask him to repent of his sin. And David offered a beautiful contrition of his heart. Hear his words. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out all my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely, O Lord, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. In our beautiful verse, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Those are powerful words of the psalmist David, of the powerful work that God can do in cleansing and healing and renewal. And then I'd like to read from the wonderful prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. As we look at Lent and cultivating a spirit of following God, we hear the wonderful words of the prophet Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offering, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And hear the prophet Micah's words on what God requires. He has showed you, O people, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is a beautiful spiritual way of living and walking for Lent. And let us take that in to our daily practice. Amen. And now I would like to go to the New Testament, to the parable of Jesus that he offered to his disciples. Chapter 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. 21 through 35. And Jesus, as you know, loved to tell parables to his disciples, and he told them in stories. And he had been dealing with sin in the church and in the synagogues. And Peter, one of his favorite disciples, came up to him and asked him about forgiveness. And Jesus answered Peter and then told the following parable. And it is good teaching for us today in the world in which we live that is so desperate for forgiveness, for pardon, and for compassion. Hear Jesus teaching. Then Peter came up to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Peter thought that was a good answer because that was a little bit more than the rabbinic law of the day. But Jesus went on to answer further. "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus magnified forgiveness in an unconditional and limitless way. And then Jesus tells the story. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, that was brought to him, but he could not pay. And since he could not pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and all his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt." That's a huge debt. "The servant fell on his knees before him and he begged, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back everything.' And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." That's what God does. He's the master of our hearts and the master of our souls. He unconditionally cancels our debt and lets us go. That's what we're going to talk about today, a spiritual practice for Lent, the spirituality of forgiveness. But Jesus is not done yet. He continues again the story. "But when that servant that had been forgiven all from his master went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, he grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back, pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.'" That's what had happened with God, with the master. He had been let off the hook. But that guy refused. He refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other people, the other servants, saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And Jesus concludes, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive one another from your own heart." Let us pray. Oh God, as we talk about the spirituality of forgiveness today, let us open our hearts to be like Jesus. Cultivate in us a spirit of openness, of compassion, of love, of forgiveness, so that we may be like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. This week, my friends, it got up to 65 degrees. Do you remember that day? And then it went back down. But on the day that it got to be 65 degrees, I decided to clean the laundry room, and I decided to clean the boot closet out. Now, we had left stuff in that boot closet since November. Leaves, dirt, salt, mud, stones, all the stuff that we had tracked all winter. And I got down on my hands and knees and scrubbed that floor and cleaned out that boot closet. And that's what Jesus does in the spirituality of Lent. Lent is a spring cleaning of the soul. And on that day that it was 65 degrees, I opened the doors of the house and let that wonderful wind come in and open up the air and let the refreshment of the spirit of the wind come in. Lent is a spring cleaning of the soul, where we open the windows of our soul, we open the closets of our hearts, and we let God in to clean us, to clear out the dirt, the bits of sin, and the debris that we have stockpiled all winter. Lent is a wonderful time for renewal and to allow Jesus once again to come in and journey with us to the cross. Now, we know in the story that the master who forgave the debt is indeed Jesus, is indeed the King who forgives unconditionally and freely. But the two servants couldn't do that. And that's really what I want to talk about today, how we actualize that and cultivate that for our lives. It's not easy. It is hard to forgive. But Christ calls us to do that. And he becomes in Lent incarnational with us, the Word made flesh, where he comes into our common humanity with us through the avenue of the cross and opens our hearts to allow his forgiving spirit to permeate us, and we can then through him, through his spirit, and through his grace enact it to each other. We can't do it on our own. I'm the first one to admit that. I need the cross of Christ to help me during Lent, to open the walls of my heart, to open the stuff that I have blocked up inside of me, to have Christ as an avenue of forgiveness, to break that down and let that prison inside be free. Do you remember the reading at the end of the parable, the prison. That's what we carry around, a prison. And we want to be free of that. When the pardon of God is received, it enables us to forgive. Let us have toward each other this small impulse to forgive. It is free, and Christ allows it to claim forgiveness for ourselves. Martin Luther, the great reformer, found that out. The great gift of God's forgiveness when he said, "I knew the power of God's forgiveness when I could see God as a loving, forgiving Father, not as a vengeful judge." You see, what we do is we hold all the stuff in our hearts and we condemn ourselves. We are the judge and the jury, and we're hardest on ourselves. And so we know from Scripture that God has a heart of compassion and love for us. He is not hard on us. He's already eradicated our sin and forgiven us already by the blood of Christ on the cross. And it's our job in Lent to receive it, not to block ourselves up and say no, but to allow the Spirit to come in and to say, "Yes, God, yes, I will journey with you to the cross. For the next 40 days, I will claim that power of forgiveness for me in my own life, and I will offer it to one another." That's the gift, Jeremiah states, of God, God's words, "For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." It's already gone. It's already wiped clean. But the difficulty is we don't let it go. We carry it around. And in Lent, this is the opportunity. This is the time to say, "Yes, Lord, you take it. Here you go. It's yours. I'll give it to you. I will surrender it to you at your feet." And Jesus will say, "That's what I'm here for. That's what I came for. That's the gift of the cross. Don't miss it." You see, when we know that God's forgiveness is unconditional and it is real and it has wiped away and eradicated our sin once and for all on the cross, we can accept ourselves. We can open up those walls in our hearts, those walls tortured by hurt and anger and bitterness and pain, and we can see the power of God's forgiveness in our own selves. It applies to me, to you, to us. And we can internalize God's forgiveness and say, "God loves me and God forgives me. Therefore, I can accept and forgive myself, and I can offer it to others." But it's not easy. Wounds may be deep. Pain may hurt, and it may take a long time for the power of Christ to seep in there. By his wounds, we are healed by the blood of the cross. But God's grace works in us and on us. He's always working every day we live. In the secret places of our heart, right where the hurt may be the greatest, Christ is there creating the new. That's the spirituality of refreshment in Lent. Let him do it again. Take time in the next 40 days of Lent to stop, to pause, to heal, to open, so that we are led by the powerful goodness of God, who only wants our good, who's already brought us the victory, to live it out and let him in to do his grace-filled work. Time allows us in this time of Lent to be led by God's healing grace and love, not by our anger, our hurt, our pride, or our pain. because Christ has already taken care of that. If we will give it to him and let him renew it and take it deeper into his love. We are called in Lent to turn back what has gone before, wipe our slates clean of the past, and start anew with God and see the flow of God's grace in a new and powerful way. To forgive, my friends, is to set the prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. And I work on that. I work on that, my dear friends, every day. The great spiritual master Henry Nouwen wrote in his wonderful book of forgiveness, The Return of the Prodigal Son, when he saw the Rembrandt painting of the prodigal son standing in the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, Russia, and he saw the magnificent arms of the compassionate, merciful father embracing the son that had squandered everything away and come home in rags, and the father embraced him in his arms. And now and said, that's our call. That's our call. It is to help people tear down the walls of pain inside and open anew and invite them in to the compassionate arms of coming home to the love of the Father, where all God's children are beloved sons and daughters, and no one is turned away. That's the gift. You see, the grace of Christ is always there, inviting us and encouraging us to come home. Lent is a season of refreshment and coming home and journeying with Christ as we come to walk the way of the cross with him. He is the grace bearer in every broken relationship. He is the one that has the power to restore and to heal. When we look at it through Christ's eyes, we get a new perspective. We see afresh the freedom of Christ in our lives. And so our call in cultivating a spirit of contentment in Lent is to see as Jesus sees, to live as Jesus calls us, to walk the 40 days of Lent with Jesus, and to let the stuff go and let his healing peace and contentment fill our lives. Nouwen writes, forgiveness is the way to step over the walls that we have erected and welcome others into our hearts without exception. Only when I remember that I am the beloved child of God can I welcome those who want to return with the same compassion as that with which the Father welcomes me. Richard Foster, the spiritual writer, writes, it is just when we are gasping for breath that Jesus invites us to pray, forgive us our debts. He teaches us in this way because he knows how very much God loves to forgive. It is the one thing he yearns to do, aches to do, rushes to do. At the very heart of the universe is God's desire to give and to forgive. Forgiveness, my friends, is an expanded form of the verb to give. It means giving and giving and giving in a limitless, unconditional way. There's no end to God's loving and giving and forgiving. There's nothing that God cannot forgive. There's nothing that God cannot heal. There's nothing that God cannot overcome. When we forgive, we no longer see the offense, the hurt, the wound as something that separates us from God and from one another. It is the miracle of grace whereby we see God's mercy in a new way, transformed and transfixed beyond the offense to bring new life and new healing. It does not mean that it did not happen. It did happen, and it may be a scar, and it may be a long time to heal, but to remember that it no longer serves as a barrier for what God will do in our lives in a more wonderful, powerful, transcendent way to heal and release and renew us in his bountiful grace that has no end. And my friends, when we forgive, when we cultivate Christ in us and let him have his way in us and let him work in us, God binds himself to us. When we forgive, God forgives us. And he binds himself to us, and he never lets go. We have assurance forever, his promises forever, that he will hold us until all eternity, until we are one with him in eternal peace. Several years ago, I had a seminary student in class that did a field placement in a church, and he enjoyed working with a wonderful man of God. And he came and he talked to me about his church and his ministry. And he worked with this wonderful man of God. And I said, well, tell me about that. And I said, how did this man of God come to, you know, take up the ministry like you're doing? He said, well, he told me this story. So I want to share you this man of God's story. And some of you may have heard it, but I think it's worth retelling in Ashland. He had great gifts of ministry. He was a leader, a teacher. And so the young seminary student said, How did you gain that kind of character of Christ? That's what we're all about in Lent. Gaining the character of Christ, cultivating that peace of Christ. And the man said, well, many, many years ago, he lived about a half hour outside of Ashland, and he said, I was driving down Claremont in Ashland. It was night. I was going kind of fast. I wasn't paying attention. I was going one place to the other. And all of a sudden, there was an AU student that walked across Claremont. And I didn't see him. And I hit him. And he died. And that's why they built the bridge over Claremont. And the seminary student was in absolute shock. He said, but here you are today, a man of God. He said, you see, that's the power of forgiveness. He said, after that happened, I came back to church, and I sat in the back row. I didn't know what to do. I was just so broken that this tragedy had happened, and full of guilt and shame and what had happened. And he said, the church people sat with me. They came every Sunday, and they sat with me, and they became Jesus to me. And they told me I was a child of God and I was loved no matter what had happened, that God could forgive it. And so he said, I sat there with him every Sunday for months and months, and finally I could put it at the feet of Jesus and I could let it go and I could repair with the family my sorrow and my loss. Ask their forgiveness and ask God's forgiveness and find my own forgiveness, because these church people had showed me the love and the grace and the power of God. And from that time on, then, he became a leader in the congregation and a man of God. You see, that's what we're to do. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Henry Nouwen writes of the Christian community, the Christian community is therefore a healing community, not only because wounds are cured and pains are alleviated, but because wounds and pains become openings for occasions for a new vision. Ministry can indeed be a witness to the living truth that the wound which caused us to suffer now will be the place revealed to us later where God began his new work, his new grace, his new healing, and his new love in each of us. Don't miss these opportunities in Lent to find God in those places. In the spirituality of Lent, to practice perhaps in the morning, Father, what would you ask of me today? Father, forgive these things in me today, and let me be a spirit of forgiveness for all those that I meet. And at the end of the day, to say thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring down your grace in new and wonderful and powerful ways. There's a wonderful hymn, He Giveth More Grace. He giveth more grace when burdens grow deeper. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies his peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. For his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. May you drink this Lenten season from the well of Christ's grace and renew your relationship with Jesus, with self, with others, and live into the reality of accepting his unconditional, compassionate love in a new and powerful way. I'm going to invite Al at this time to come, and we're going to have a time of reflection and prayer. And I want you to look in your own soul, in your own house cleaning of your own soul, and find the refreshment, the wellspring of grace that is welling up in you for Christ to give you more and more, to heal and restore and renew and cleanse, so that you may know his peace, his contentment, his grace, and his unending love as sons and daughters and children of God. Let us pray. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord, for into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and I so need to give myself to you, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you indeed are my Father and I your beloved. Come to me, all you are here who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me bring pardon. Where there is error, let me show truth. Where there is doubt, let me give faith. Where there is despair, let me shine hope. Where there is darkness, let me be light. And where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Thank you, God, for your love. Help us to know that we are your treasures and that you desire to lavish your love upon us. Open the wellsprings of our hearts. Tear down the walls in our souls so that your spirit can breathe afresh and we can let go of what burdens us and find your new loving, forgiving spirit within us. And we can extend a hand and offer it to one another. We know it's difficult, O Lord, but with you all things through your magnificent grace bring goodness, healing, mercy, and love. Help us to follow Jesus. Help us to walk with Jesus and to live into the gift of the cross. For we thank you, Jesus, for your love. And we thank you, O God, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And there is nothing that you cannot heal. There is nothing you cannot save. There is nothing you cannot redeem. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.